and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris, and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today by Matt Taylor, founder of Otsite. Matt, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
And we've brought you down to BrewDog today to hang out with us.
Yeah.
No beer yet.
What time is it?
I don't know. Does it matter in BrewDog? Someone told me that it's always beer o'clock here.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of people having a beer, so we might join them.
It's on the go. Before we get into anything, we were just having a quick kind of trip down memory lane, discussing some of our former employers. And you probably had a life, I would imagine, in hospitality.
Yeah, both ex-operators, aren't we?
Yeah.
Moving into tech.
I was going to say, I always explain to people why I look like I do. And that's why I'm on a podcast and not on video.
Are we both tired?
You're just knackered, really. But I think I enjoyed it.
I mean, there's something about operations that drive all of us, and I can't let go of it. I want to buy a pub.
What, now? No,
not a BrewDog. They're too big for me. But yeah, there's something about running venues and where we sort of come from in our histories that excite us, and that's part of our journey and my journey coming back into tech to keep some fingers and toes in that world.
You can't let go, can you?
No.
And where were you then? So before the tech world started, what were you doing prior to that?
I've got a degree from University of London in finance and management, and it was really boring. And so I started to work in Tiger Tiger.
Which wasn't.
So everyone left to work in banking, and I worked in a nightclub, and it was an absolute monster. I think it only lasted a year and a half.
Because we were talking about volume of sales here in BrewDog, and I went, you know, they do a lot. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think probably more there, right?
I mean, it was 2,000 people capacity. The Saturday night cash up was just a mess.
And this is, you kids listening, cash up was a thing, right?
Cash up was pound, 50p's, 20p's. That was a thing.
Oh,
and
my God.
When you're talking 100 grand in denominations under £10, it's a lot to count.
Did you have the little note? The note thingy.
Yeah, it's not very accurate. You've got to do it by hand.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, one of us on a Saturday, was seven managers on a Saturday. One had to finish at 11:30 to go down to the office to start pulling tills and counting. And they'd finish about 5 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
There's a
That's the other side of ops that normally talks about, the bit where you just don't go home.
I mean, card payments just weren't a thing.
We'll probably sound like two old men, but it is a bit of a journey, isn't it? That where we are now compared to where we were.
Are we trying to say it's much easier now? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I was talking to the COO of Paris Baguette, Nate Nico, and he was on the podcast, and he was saying, he said, I don't want to be rude to the operators of today. Mm. He goes, but it is easier. Cash out is easier.
Yes.
He said, stock is easier because of what we've got in terms of tech.
Yes.
He said, it just is. He said, you know, whether it's accurate or whether people can steal or all that kind of stuff still goes on in everyone's mind.
Yep.
He said, but actually the physical outlay of energy to do that now is less.
Yeah. I can give many examples where Excel or the PC crashed mid cash up and you've got to start again. So there's so many things with tech that have improved the operator's lives. I'll agree with that. Is it easy out there? No.
It will never be easy because there's humans involved.
I mean, the environment and the industry at the moment, yeah, it is tough for some people, but tech, yeah, can help, and it does a lot. That's my journey. Tiger Tiger then sort of rose up to operations director and did a bit of consulting, and I was really struggling with my tech. And I was using some outsourced accountants. I can't talk badly about anyone here, can I?
You can do what you want.
No, I'm not going to. I was struggling with a few things as ops director, and I had a bit of a history in building websites, and I started to build one to do a very basic labor forecast, pull some data from tills, And that was the start of my journey.
What year are we talking there? When were you doing that?
2015, I think.
Okay. So Forth obviously were doing their thing at this point. They were out there kind of owning most of that narrative.
Yeah. So we used a number of different products, Excel being the main one, that great Excel product. And I just thought, I've got to try and fix this. I need quicker information. I had no idea what's going on. So trying to pull till data and rotors and forecasting, all that sort of stuff was part of the original beast. But I'm not a very good coder. So that
coding also a thing.
Yeah, I had to outsource that very quickly, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's also not time efficient, is it? Now, I've also learned that coding is for people who are just insanely intelligent.
Yeah, I've got meetings every 2 weeks with the boys, and they talk about stuff I just don't understand.
You just nod and smile.
I just giggle in the corner. And what's that saying about you've got to be the dumbest guy in the room?
Yes, I said that the other week.
100%.
I had a really good panel at the Bar and Tech Show, whatever they call it now, Hostility Tech Expo. And I had the CEO from Acrelic on our panel. She was so smart. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying at the start, just make sure you're the dumbest person in the room, right? Because she was very clever. And with Opsight, I suppose the operational gearing, your operational gearing, I suppose, that led you to that point, I think lacks in a lot of product sometimes. I think that when you look at a tech product that's been built by someone who doesn't have that experience or can't influence someone with that experience, it becomes a longer journey. Do you think you were faster getting there? Before we talk about what it actually does, do you feel like you got where you wanted to get quicker because of what you know?
Yes and no. I think that I realized quite quickly, and you may agree with this, everyone does something slightly differently. We're all trying to achieve the same result.
Yeah.
But there's so many nuances in everything that we do, whether it's building a rotor or cashing up or using a till, that not a single product can cope with everyone. And
hence why there's 750 of them.
Which is why we have a lot of competition.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a simple restaurant, you've got a till system, it may be great, it may not be, but in that restaurant's lifespan, they will probably have to change because the way the business adapts. Yeah. If you look at COVID, people went into COVID with till systems and sort of the script changed and the delivery and the collection and everything that tills or some tills weren't used to or prepared for really changed quickly. And those that adapted got more sales and people changed the till system a lot. And as we were just saying, you've got groups and lots of groups that have multiple till systems, which makes things even
that just blows more my interesting. Mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I think changing EPOS even 5 years ago, maybe 7 years, is something that most people wouldn't take on lightly. It'd be like, oh God, really? You want us to change the tills? Mm-hmm. Sounds horrific. But as you say, with growth or with change of tech or the advancement of AI, whatever you think in terms of what these magical things can do now, I think people are finding it not easier, but are looking at more opportunities around POS and what they can do.
Yeah.
I just think that they see more opportunity potentially, I think.
Yeah. And with all these things, they're just becoming more powerful.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that we see is very exciting from tills.
And I hate to ask you this at the start, but all-in-one versus best-in-class, where do you sit? Since you have a few products yourself, sir, but yeah.
I've got to say, we're in the middle.
Such a politician.
We're never going to be the best at one specific thing. I think from where I come from, my pain points were I didn't want the best-in-class. I wanted a simple enough system that my team could use it,
yeah,
that I could understand it and get the information quickly because... Let's be honest, the focus is front of house.
Yeah.
The focus is team, sales, business. It's not sitting in the office for hours laboring over some beautiful beast that you've created. You've got to get on the floor. And that's the kind of the background I was bred in terms of hospitality. You don't want to be in the office.
Yeah.
The job is front of house, meeting guests, dealing with team members.
It's really funny you say that because Carluccio's, as we grew, so I think I joined them at 7 or 8 sites and we went to 100 before all the fallout. They stopped building offices. Bastards.
Yeah, the back office just gets small. This is a big room for an office.
Yeah.
Smaller and smaller.
As you make more money, they're like, hang on, we just need less and less people in that office because we need to service the floor. And I think it's dead right. I think you're entirely right, actually. I think you can be a bit feature-obsessed, potentially, or be sold to be feature-obsessed, like thinking, I just need that. But the reality is you need data quick because labor and sales move on so fast daily. Yeah. That actually looking at yesterday's 2 days later is pointless.
Yeah. We'd caveat that by saying we do listen a lot to our clients as as they all do things differently.
Yes.
We do get a lot of requests and some of them are great. Some of them are just bonkers. But it's having that sort of team behind me to sort of help me analyze, well, what are we being posed with? What does someone want? Does it make sense? And I'll give you a great example. Last year, quite a big client of ours came to us and said, look, we want a feedback system. We've got a system where staff can clock in and clock out and all that sort of thing. And they wanted to sort of shift feedback report. So when you clock out, you can give some feedback. And we built it and we gave it to them, and it was a total disaster because all the scores were rubbish. And there was out of five, you know,
it was feedback they didn't want.
It was totally. And they're like, this can't be right. You know, we're getting ones and twos out of five. And I'm like, well, it is right. But the positive is, well, we actually helped them get it better, and now they're scoring higher.
Feedback is a gift, yeah? Well,
but they never really looked at it. And so, like, why is everyone leaving it? We just don't talk to our staff. So things like that I really love, because we listen to the sort of the customer, and they give us something, and we can really help them improve their business. So that stuff really, I really enjoy digging into that detail.
And if I had to pick Opsite, if I had to give you a pitch, or you give a pitch for Opsite, what, how would you describe your product in its entirety in about 10 seconds?
I can't do it in 10 seconds, sorry.
No, you can have more. You're carry on. I'll go get a beer.
We're coming from a finance background. So we've got two companies, one's Opsite, one's Solutions for Caterers, which are outsourced bookkeepers. And the team's now, we're getting to 50 people in the office.
It's a decent size.
It's getting a bit squeezed. But we're very much coming from a finance perspective, speed, P&Ls, accuracy. And Opsite is trying to solve a lot of different problems in terms of the front of house, the rotor systems, the cash up, but also improving the speed with which we can produce information.
Yeah.
One of my biggest gripes as an operator was the P&L. Waiting even 10 days, which is relatively quick nowadays, it's just too late, because if I make a mistake today, that's 6 weeks until I find out, and it needs to be quicker than that. So from the finance point of view, we're really trying to speed up that information delivery.
So how fast do you deliver a P&L in? Or is it down to you, though, or is it down to the...
We've done it in 3 days.
Okay.
For a group of 20. But you have to make certain compromises in terms of reconciling balance sheets and stuff. So we wanted to, and the sort of growth of AI is very exciting here, try and speed up that information. And it doesn't have to be complex. I don't want a P&L today for today. I want to see some key outlines of things that I can change and improve my business quickly. And I don't want 20, I want 3 or 4.
It's interesting you bring the P&L up, because I think the P&L is your North Star, right? It's the thing that guides you. And we in college is what they did really well really early on. We had a weekly P&L, which we would build ourselves. Now, it was very basic. It was sales. We'd put in our labor costs, our food costs. So obviously, were we entirely accurate? I guess. But we were pretty close. You know, when the main accounts came out, we were pretty close. But having that ability as an operator to see where I was at mid-period or week three, whatever it was, it really gave me the... I was competitive. I'm sure you were.
Were you?
Yeah. So I wanted to win a lot. Yeah. So I was constantly on my guys' case saying, where are we at? Mm. And I almost found it fun in a sick way that actually, let's get that labor number down, you know, but in a way that, because we're making more money, not because we're cutting labor. But it was just a really, that information for an operator, I think sometimes the optics looking into the industry don't realize how quick and accurate that needs to be. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, totally. And there's certain things like the stock figures, you're going to have to wait. But other things are really important. And if you're overspending on labor, is a great example, hourly versus sales. That's a great
car crash.
Great report.
Yeah.
As an ops director, I was constantly trying to figure out, well, am I overspending? Why are we opening at 5 o'clock? Should we open at 6 or 4? And I just didn't have that information. And if I was in my shoes now with the tech, it'd just be so much easier.
Would you be shut at 4?
I don't know. I didn't ever finish that analysis.
it's mad, isn't it? And I spoke to somebody the other week about gut instinct as an operator. You kind of, I would say you're like right 80% of the time about people, about stats, about numbers, about what's going on in that particular venue. And you kind of know what you're doing, but there's nothing more rich than data, or having data to be able to back up that thought.
I'm going to pose a question to you now.
Oh, no.
In terms of gut, one thing that worries me slightly with the advancements of tech and AI, let's just look at a rotor, for example. The systems out there that will build your rotor automatically and knows the staff, the key times, the hours, sort of core abilities, and it will do it for you. My worry with too much of that stuff is, are you dumbing down your operators? Back to gut feeling, there's something with going through lots of crap as a manager to figure out the best solutions. And if tech is going to fully automate that role, that worries me a little bit.
I think it's like competency, right? Looking on a Friday night and looking at the team names on the team sheet and going, I need John Friday. I know he's already worked 4 days this week, but I need John Friday because those guys... Because will the tech know, even though these people are...
John hates Susan.
No, that nuance is... the guy called Matt Grimshaw is building Yuda, which is going to do this. It's going to pull all this emotive information together because he thinks PeopleTech is broken and hasn't been fixed for a long time in terms of the data that comes out of it. And he wants to join all the dots together. But he was saying that... That area manager in his car, the information he holds or she holds is absolutely crucial to the running of that region, but that's where it stops. Mm. It's very rarely shared up or down or left or right. It's kind of in his head or in her head. So I remember when I used to drive around my area, I'd know like the name of the puppy that just arrived in the family, the GM over in Dorchester. I'd know that Exeter was having a bad time at home and needed extra time off. But that kind of stuff, you're right. I don't think that'll ever be encapsulated. I don't know. Do you think?
I don't know. It scares me a little bit. But then on the flip side, I've got examples. The puppy scares me. Examples of managers blaming Harry Potter being on in the cinema for sales. And it's like, okay, well, maybe tech can help us in a few ways.
That was my line.
Oh, was he?
Bloody Voldemort.
Yeah. Why are sales down for Voldemort again? Sorry.
It's a thing. But that is the other thing, right? That gut was used. If you're a credible operator, you could probably get away with quite a lot, I think, in terms of your numbers, in terms of explaining away some of your numbers. If you had some emotional bank account with your bosses. I was talking to the guys that run Zedible, which is a climate tech, and they used to run Frisco. I don't know if you remember Frisco. Mm. It was a chain up in the Midlands and the North. And they were talking about weather. When they used to meet their board, they'd be like, oh, the rain.
Oh,
I'll tell you what.
Raining
again. It's just a killer.
The sun.
It's so funny, but it's been used for years. Yeah. But unfortunately, you clever people are starting to ruin it for everyone.
Just ask ChatGPT what it would do.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, no, on that sense, I do agree with you. I think that operators are operators for a reason. Their skill set is brilliant. I think most good operators I've worked with have a really interesting... They turn into entrepreneurs, right? They're probably going to be entrepreneurs. Yeah. They probably should have been at the start. They just got lost a bit.
Yeah.
And they just love I think it was the energy that you get from ops. But I think most of the good people I've watched come through there. We spoke about a few when you just came in this morning. Actually, both of them have run their own companies and are doing really well. So, yeah, I think it's a thing, isn't it? That
I think there's something I miss about the team. There's something... It's almost like running a ship. It is a ship.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And you finish a shift and you've all made it. And there's something really bonding, whereas an office isn't quite the same.
I just think it's that trenches mentality. I always say it's like the Vietnam melting. You don't know, man. You weren't there, you know?
You weren't there.
Yeah, and I always say that. And I think when I talk to the tech guys, they're all like, oh, we wish we had a bit of that in our business, you know? So we could know what it feels like to kind of, well, go and run a shift to the kitchen.
Exactly.
You'll soon find out very quickly.
Circling back to my first point, when I get this pub, my team are going to work the pub.
Oh, I like that.
I do have some operators in the team. I've got a sort of GM from Pizza Express and a few others. But they're building code and they're doing accounts and bookkeeping, and they've never really felt, you know, they understand that it's not called the client at 1 p.m. on a Friday. They know that. But have they felt that? And do they know everything about the stocks, the stock system? You know, they chase for stock figures, but do they understand why they can't get it? Well, someone's lost the keys to the stock cupboard or... You know,
I mean, you go for the one that is the most bloody common. Where are the keys? I don't know. I had them when I was out at 5 in the morning and wherever we were.
Yeah. So I'd like to buy a pub, and I know S4Labour have got some pubs, and I'm quite jealous.
Yeah, they have. They have.
Because I'd love to put some team in.
And a young man called Bernard, who built Labour Productivity for Forth, he has the Old Spot pub company. He has some pubs, and they do test all of their kit in there as well. So I think you're right. I think it just to... It's very hard to kind of get that essence of what it means to hospitality operations to be in it. But no, it's great. I mean, and I suppose you mentioned competitors before, and that there are a lot, right? I was at the Bar and Tech show. There was 29 POS exhibitors in a space, I would say. Probably with about 50 or 60 people there, I would say maybe 45, 50% were POS.
Wow.
You know, and I called it Posland for the 2 days that I was there. And I, you know, I love all of them dearly. But for an operator, how the hell do you pick?
How do you choose?
Yeah. It's why I look at the marketplace that we're doing, trying to work out I really want to give everyone the access to be able to, you know, look great and tell people about what you do. And it's just, you can't service everybody. It's just impossible.
Yeah, there are a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of competitors in your space as well, I'm sure. How do you kind of bring you to the surface when you're having conversations with operators, or how do you kind of position yourselves?
I think back to our background, it's the finance, it's the process, the automation. How do we improve things? Again, we're not going to be the prettiest, fluffiest thing in the world, but how do we improve the business and try and give some analytics and data behind what we do to help you guys? We got a lot of till system integrations. So 29 is a lot. We integrate with 15 or 20. And
come on now.
They're all different.
Catch up. And
such a nightmare.
It would have made you sad if you were there.
Yeah. More integrations. I mean, it's great to have this sort of level of competition. It's great to see what other people are doing. And the market's huge. Yeah. And there's space for everyone.
So. That's the one thing that I found out with Tech on Toast recently. I was telling you just before we started about these operators who are totally random. Like, I've never heard of them, probably never would have. And they're turning over between 10 and 15 million in their 6 or 7 pub chain, doing a great job.
Yeah.
And actually with tech stacks, they've kind of built accidentally just through, like you said, just through growth, and then need some help. And I suppose you're, with your financial approach, I'm guessing you're quite consultative then, are you, with your customers?
Yeah, we can be. We get a lot of calls about certain things, generally not about EPOS. We get a couple, but not another one. people do come to us for that sort of advice, and it's hard to be impartial because, you know, we build relationships, we've got partners, but we have to be, and we have to try and look at the business and go, well, what do we think? Give them some options. And they can then make those phone calls and make their own decisions. And they're gonna have to live with them.
And if you're when you're working with these customers, are they, what level of people are you working with, I suppose? So when you, I'm sure it depends on the size of group that comes to you, or if it's an independent, but what kind of people are dealing with the tech? I always get into, I was just saying to you before that there's a commercial director and operations manager I was dealing with. What kind of people are managing the tech before you guys come and get
involved?
I mean,
the GMs have always got input.
Yeah.
They've always used something, or you know, my Excel's the best, and I don't want to use a system.
That's, I'm on 4.0.
Yeah. I'm on 5. But yeah, it's mainly the sort of finance directors and area managers, owners, operators, that sort of thing. What I really enjoy is being on the calls with the GMs after, the decision's been made, to listen to their feedback, to hear how we can improve the system. As I said before, we're getting sort of requests all the time for things, and just sort of enjoying talking to people. Well, why would you do it this way?
Yeah,
and back to my team. Coming from an operator's point of view, going into tech, the biggest challenge and hurdle is you've done things your whole career, but you have to change your own mentality. I can't build a support team in OpSite that don't open their eyes and go, well, this one process could be done 10 different ways, and let's try and support people in those 10 different ways, because you're probably never going to change them, and just let them crack on, and if they want to cash up upside down kind of thing, and just let them do it. But yeah, if that answers your question.
Are they bringing much? Because you think about it, right? You've been in ops for, I don't know, how many years were you doing operations?
About 10 years.
10 years. So I've got another 20 over here. So are there still new ideas? Like, you know, you always think, oh, I know everything. That's why I loved ops so much, because you go in the day after, you'd be like, I never thought that would happen. Or I never thought we could have found that angle to get around this. Are they still suggesting, when you're having stuff brought to you, are you still having those light bulb moments with people going, or is it
not
very
hugely.
Yeah.
Not hugely. It's sort of changes upon changes. And if we say the goal is to, like, let's get quick data with a good system, how do we get there? It's just a different path. So,
yeah. So they're not reinventing the wheel.
Thank God.
Still trying to find the keys for the stock room. And innovation, I suppose, is something that we talk about a lot on this podcast. I suppose it comes back to the operators. It's driven from them, right? What they want to achieve and how they want to do it. How much are you having to iterate or innovate within OpSite to kind of not keep up, but to stay relevant, to stay attached to the industry?
We're constantly building new things. And I think I've spoken to I've got a sort of consultant friend of mine, and he used to run a big tech company. And he sort of said, look, when you go over sort of 10, 15 coders, you get a bit inefficient. We're at 10, and we're sort of siloed enough to, you know, get the chaps and the girls on different projects at the same time. So they're running multiple projects. So we can kind of juggle work and deliver code pretty quickly. That obviously delivers a lot of stress to the testers and all that sort of thing. In terms of innovation, again, we're driven by the finance. So to get that quick information on day one is my ultimate goal. And if I can do that in a very automated way, I'll be happy. Are we there yet? No.
Love that. And I think it's that speed of data or speed of results is key. That's the one thing that I suppose that sticks with me when I'm talking to you. And what about, and do you have clients that you're working with, do they stay with you a long time? What's the kind of churn? Because some of the SaaS companies kind of spit people out every year and they come back, or?
I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm quite new to this, growing a SaaS company. And we don't have much churn. I don't know why. People go bust, of course they do. But we don't really have many people dropping off. And I think we're about 60% year-on-year growth. But that's because people stay with us and they sort of talk to their friends and go, yeah, oh, this is a cool product you've probably never heard of. Because
and that's still a thing, right, marketing in the industry, isn't it? Very much one thing that has remained, the old corner bar mentality, like, oh, you should work with Matt.
Call my mate Steve.
Matt's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort you out.
That is much more powerful than, unfortunately, going to a tech expo, which we did last year. We didn't come
I didn't
year.
Pay, don't worry. The others did. The 29 did.
Yeah, but yeah, they did, yeah.
But yeah, so I agree. I mean, and as an operator, would you have ever gone to one of those things?
No.
Me neither.
No, I never would.
I didn't even know half this world existed, no, actually, when I was an officer.
You know, just you're going to get job. Sold, yeah. And I was probably too bullish. I would have said, well, I can find out stuff myself. I don't need to go and stand in a room and get sold to.
It's mad. And churn is it? And why do you think people stay with you? Because churn is a thing. But why do you think you have that longevity of customer?
Sticky systems. When people get in a groove, maybe someone else will build something slightly better or slightly prettier. But at the end of the day, it doesn't hugely matter. We've got very good support. Yeah. I know, because it's expensive. but the team is very, very good and quick at responding. And I think that's all people want nowadays. They want to focus on the front of house.
I think support is possibly the most... I mean, it sounds, as you say, like all the bells and whistles, you can have the prettiest website, the best-looking salespeople, whatever you want, right, in terms of tech. But if you weren't getting to that problem quickly... As quick as the CFO bought you in, the GM at Bristol will kick you out.
Yeah, no, of course. And every system has problems and there's bugs in every system. That's just, and operators know that. But if they're stuck there for a day going, where's my answer? I've got to do payroll or this person's, whatever. It's just not on. So we do resolve stuff pretty quickly. And I think that's why people are quite sticky.
I love that. And what about... what's coming up for you guys? Have you got more planned? And so in terms of products now, if I had to come to Opsite tomorrow, what could you offer me in terms of what you cover?
We have a labor scheduling system with time and attendance, so clock out, clock
and in reviews with, now, is that right?
And shift reviews,
yes.
With an employee app. We've got a sort of daily EPOS integrated finance function. So those people that do have cash and those that don't, like the daily reports.
Again, what we used to call them, the daily cash outs.
I call it a snapshot.
Yeah, they had a name. I can't remember. But yes, I remember. But effectively, WCMS, it was called in my world.
Was it?
I don't know what that stood for.
Rolls off the tongue, that does.
Yeah. don't call it that.
Again, back to my ops director days when I was running multiple sites, I wanted to wake up because I wasn't doing nights with information. I wanted to read the report and understand it so that if anything needed to be done or when I get the call from there and I go, what the? I'd have the answer.
Yeah.
So sort of a nightly email that's quite analytical, looking at sales and labor and like-for-likes and all that sort of stuff with a bit of P&L in there.
Very cool.
A really boring invoice module. So we use a bit of AI to read supplier invoices and so that people on their phones or on a website can approve invoices, say at stock or...
On the go.
On the go, just approve it straight into the accounting system. So put a stamp on that. And then something we've just released is sort of our Insights, which is analytical platform.
Oh, yes.
So pulling everything together and going, right, what reports would you like to see? And we built that because we didn't, back to operators doing things completely differently, we didn't want to just create 10 or 20 reports and just go, oh, there's your package. We wanted to listen to customers. So someone would call us up going, I really want to look at, I don't know, the number of fish fingers I've sold versus how many times Susan has called in sick or whatever.
Yeah.
We just create the report, but we create them in a scalable way. So if the next person wants to see something similar, and that's become really quite popular over the last couple of weeks.
And it's got a genius name.
Insights.
Like Upside.
Yeah.
With a Y. I just remember what the WCMS was. It was the Weekly Cash Management System.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Was it an Excel or?
No, it was paper. I mean, literally, I think it was an Excel. Yeah, we'd put in the cash variances each night and then send it off to some poor accountant that's in an office who felt sad. And basically just rang you up and said, you've stolen or it's somewhere.
Doesn't
so, yeah, it's like, find it now. But, yeah, that, and Insight, is that that's fairly new, isn't it?
It's about 2 months old.
Okay. So, and people are picking that up. And I can go anywhere with that. I can look at, as long as you're looking after my reporting system around this product, so I can go and measure stock, labor, whatever.
As long as you're using at least one of our modules, yeah, we can give you some sort of analytics. And it may be just simple as we'll integrate with your till, get the data out, and just get you some reports. But yeah, people generally go for the whole lot, and we can kind of build great stuff off it. And that
flash
kind
of, your dashboards and everything.
That's your Flash Weekly Excel dashboard. Yeah,
very nice.
Replacement.
And what's coming up then? So you've got four or five products there? Or Halo products, I would say. Yeah. What have you got coming up?
I can't really tell you.
Well, that's rubbish. You're on a podcast. You have to.
I've got a shareholder, called WNT, and I've brought their lovely bottle here with a sticker from my daughter of a crusty butterfly.
Good, thank you.
We've just built them something called Tronkbox.
Yes.
So we are rolling that out with them to all of their clients, and that's sort of helping operators in the new world of tipping and all that mess that potentially is coming. We don't know what's going on with the government. Who knows?
That's really interesting, because that, I know that legislation's out now-ish.
Waiting for the code of practice, so the detail is lacking.
Some consultants writing that somewhere in a Westminster Tower.
Probably.
Yeah, it's interesting. And at that side of the bit, obviously we're sitting in BrewDog, and Mr. Brown has an involvement in that stuff. Yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it? It's not been touched a lot, has it?
It's a bit of a minefield. And those like Tipjar and Tronkbox that are attacking that minefield, I think they're doing a great job. And I think it's going to become quite problematic for some operators. And the more help we can give them, the better.
I think what you said around before about everyone does things a little bit differently. Oh my God, welcome to Tronk.
If I'd known how complicated it was.
That's so strange. If you'd listened to James's podcast, you would have never touched it.
I wouldn't have touched it. Tronk and tipping is just, people do things so differently. And yeah. I never realised that as an operator.
I think a lot of people, yeah, me too. I just thought tips were tips, right?
Yeah, just divvy it out and
just take it. Well, we used to do the coffee, like, you know, the coffee cup in the night and spread it on the table and everyone take their 50p's. But it's changed, right?
Every single one is different, which is great. But trying to build a system for that has made me lose all my hair, I think.
Yeah, and I think tipping generally, we were talking very briefly about tipping before you sat down, about how one person left your company to go to my company, well, I say your company, where you were working to where I was working.
Because you paid out more tips, yeah, generated more money.
But in London at that point, I don't know if it's still the same down here. Is tipping still driving people's behaviour in terms of where they work? Because then it did.
I don't know.
I definitely chose where I work based on how quickly I could fill my Pringles jar. Honestly, mate, I had dollars in that thing.
And I don't know the behaviours. But yes, it's interesting. And I think next year, if they ever release the code of practice, I don't think they have to, it's going to be interesting.
Okay. Relying on the government, it's not great. And if people want to get in touch with Opsite and get some insight, if they'd like to, how do they get hold of you?
Not me directly, please.
Depends what email you give or what website.
Just go to our website and click on the lovely button.
Was it opsite.com?
.com.
Right, that's really simple. The thing I'm getting from you here is simplicity.
Yeah.
Speed and simplicity. Easy life.
I've got two very small children.
How small are they?
2 and 4.
Oh, God, you're in that bit.
Just gone to school.
Mine are all like really old. And
how old?
16. 16 and... Tegan, 13. Not that she ever listens to this.
You've put me off having 3 kids. That was it.
Oh, yes, that was our initial chat. Yeah, planes are built for 4, holidays for 4. Yeah, my life's over. Like, we just can't go abroad anymore. It's just
at all.
You can, but last time we went, I don't know if anyone cares, but we're going to tell it anyway. But they, last time we went to Cyprus this summer, and because Shay's a bit older now, he's an adult, basically, in terms of Tui. So Nick's and my little one had to share with us, and Tegan and Shay had their own room in a resort nowhere near us.
Well, the same resort or a different...
Yeah, in the resort, but like it's a big resort, right? Yeah. So it wasn't like we're next door, and even though we requested all that, it didn't happen. So they ended up being in this room, and they absolutely loved it.
I mean,
they had a ball. But I came in the first night, they'd knocked the air conditioning off the roof.
Good.
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and they'd worked out a way of riding on the beds around the room.
That's good.
You know, so yeah, and oh, good. Shay trying alcohol for the first time.
I was going to say, are they drinking?
Yeah, he was. Well, I don't know if she was.
Here's a question. My 2-year-old
is not drinking.
Is the same price as a 60-year-old man drinking beer and eating lots of food, and he's all inclusive. Like,
I think it's based on mental capacity. It's the same. They're on a similar level.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
Anyway, look, I don't know where that ended up there, but
she doesn't drink. I promise you.
She should just milk.
Just milk.
Good. Right. Well, look, lovely to meet you in person. Thank you for coming along. We'll give you a mug. You got your little Tech and Toast.
Thank you.
Tech and Toast mug to take home with you. I don't want your sticker. You can keep that.
I couldn't go home without it, so you're not having it.
And yeah, if you haven't found Opsite, go and check them out at the marketplace, Opsite/Opsite, and go and check out the website, opsite.com, and also go and check out their new product with the Insight. I said site a lot then.
You did.
Right, good. Have a great day, guys. Thank you very much, Matt.